Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leaders, Sports Radio 610. On a day that the Houston Astros have announced their 19th manager in franchise history, Dusty Baker is the new skipper of the Houston Astros, and Robert Flores of MLB Network, Houston native, joins us now. Roflo, what do you think, Dusty in Houston?
I think it's about the best hire they could have made considering the circumstances, right? I mean, listen, in a lot of ways, 2020 is going to be unlike any other season that a major league team has faced. But Dusty Baker has seen just about everything, including, I mean, he managed Barry Bonds, and Barry Bonds in his during his home run chase was the subject of a bunch of controversy and scrutiny and vitriol, and the Astros are going to face a lot of that throughout 2020. So I think it's a great hire. And I like I said, I think it's about the best that the fans could have hoped for considering the circumstances.
Robert, I think there's some concerns across the board, and rightfully so. And I think the biggest one, whether you're talking about the fan base or the analysts that you work with at MLB Network and everything in between, I think the big question is the analytics and his willingness to lean heavily on analytics the way that a lot of teams do in 2020, but definitely the way that the Astros do in 2020. What did you think of the way that he addressed analytics multiple times and the way that Jim Crane addressed the analytics situation multiple times throughout that press conference?
Well, I think what I found most interesting is the way Jim Crane addressed it, which was, you know, our operations folks give you the information, and when they give it to you in the manner in which they do, it's pretty easy to make the choice. Listen, I think that there is certainly having as much information and data and analytics is certainly a good thing. But you know what? It has to be, I think, married with some good old-fashioned baseball wisdom, a good understanding of your players, the interpersonal relationships. I think those are every bit as important as any sort of data or analytics.
Where do you think that Dusty Baker will help the Astros the most in 2020?
Man, that's a good question. I think it's his presence. It's his resume. As soon as he addresses the team for the first time in West Palm Beach here in a couple of weeks, the players in that clubhouse will know, look, this guy has won everywhere he's been. He has seen just about everything. He's played the game. He's managed the game. He knows just about everything there is and has seen just about everything there is. So I think his resume and what kind of respect that I think he commands, I think those are some of the most important things that he brings, especially because of the situation that he's in.
Robert, I think that it's obvious that the answer to this question is yes, it was a good decision. But what do you make of the fact that he just flat out said, hey, look, this staff was pretty good. This team was pretty good. And the staff in itself, we're going to keep it the same, and we're up against it here as far as spring training starting in 10 days. What do you make of that staff being essentially complete with the addition of Baker?
I think it's as you said, considering the time constraints that they are under at this point, I think it makes a lot of sense. And listen, everyone on AJ's staff or that's going to be, a holdover and serving and coaching with Dusty Baker, they understand just how – I mean, these guys are professionals, and they understand the task that is facing them. So they're going to do everything they can to make sure that Dusty is in a good place, that he feels comfortable, that he's well equipped to make the best decisions. So, and like I said, I mean, he commands respect, and I know that, I mean, it's such a small fraternity. So I'm sure that these guys have all crossed paths with one another over the years. So I think it's a smart decision, once again, considering the time constraints they're under.
Houston native Robert Flores works at MLB Network, is our guest on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Roflo, I mean, we're spending all this day talking about Dusty, three-time NL Manager of the Year, 22 years in the business as a manager, over 1,800 wins. If he's with the Astros for two more years, you have a hard time figuring he won't get to 2,000. But how about this team that he's picking up? He mentioned in his press conference that it was a blessing that he is the manager of this team with all the talent that they have. What are some realistic expectations for the Astros in 2020?
I think it's not unrealistic to say this is a 95 to 98 win team. Again, I think that they can win the division. I think the A's are going to be, once again, their stiffest competition. But are they the favorite to win the World Series? No. I mean, we all know, and this is not a hot take, the Yankees are the favorite to win the World Series. Now, what if the Dodgers trade for Mookie Betts? I mean, that puts them, I think, ahead of the Astros in any sort of World Series title contender. But as I've often said, baseball is such a difficult sport to predict and make prognostications on who's going to win the division, who's going to win the championship, because it's such a long season. There's so much that can happen in the way of injuries or players that we don't even know about. I mean, this time last year, was anyone talking about Yordan Alvarez at length? you know, and then now he's a big part of that lineup. So, again, I think the core is still intact. This is, as I said, 95, 97, 98 wins. I don't think that's a stretch for this team.
Roflo, my man is 70 years old, but he had a kid. He's got a 20-year-old son. He had a kid at 50,
yeah.
Man. I mean, I know he's no spring chicken, but damn it, he ain't no typical 70-year-old either. Do you think?
No, man.
What do you think about the? I think a lot of the fan base that we interact with, there are many 70. How's he going to relate? The game is past him. It appears that number is really only a thing. You've been around this guy. You cover the game inside and out. You're in the ballparks with these guys. What do you make of his age?
Hey, man, he was quoting Too Short in his news conference today. So, I mean, I think that he is the game has definitely not passed him by. I can't remember who it was. I think I read it somewhere in The Athletic, and I can't remember who wrote it. But they quoted an unnamed baseball executive that said if Dusty Baker lands in Houston, they will win that division rather easily. So, again, this is a guy that has won everywhere he's been. Now, yes, the big prize has eluded him, and he referenced that in his news conference. And I think that if this team wasn't as good as it is, if it didn't have as much talent as it does, I don't think you'd see Dusty Baker in Houston. I think he was perfectly content to be retired. But when this opportunity came along, I think it just totally changed his way of thinking.
Roflo, why do you think he hasn't won the big one?
You know, the more playoff games that I've covered and watched, especially in baseball is it's weird, man. There's tricky bounces. It's just hard to put your finger on. Now, yeah, he's made some decisions that have deserved a great deal of scrutiny. Maybe not leaving a starting pitcher in too long, but there's just so much that has to line up for a team to win it all, because it's so difficult. The stakes are so high, the season's so long. And then this year, again, you're talking about teams. This is an arms race, fellas. I already mentioned the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Astros. Look at what Cincinnati's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, who's not to say that they don't get out of their win their division and make a run. So these are high stakes, and it's a very difficult thing to pull off. But I know that he would, and Astro fans would love to have be a part of Dusty Baker's first.
Roflo, you and I share the same opinion when it comes to postseason baseball. I've always called it a crapshoot. Look at last year's World Series as an example. Game 7, the Astros are 8 outs away, and Howie Kendrick dinks a 2-run homer off the foul pole.
Exactly. I mean, Will Harris had been nails all season long. He throws a cutter diving low and away in the left-handed batter's box, and Howie Kendrick just flicks his bat out there, and it hits the foul pole. I mean, 6 inches to the right, and maybe this conversation is different, you know? There's just so many different, there's so many variables. And that's why I said it's what makes baseball great, but also what makes it heartbreaking as well.
Guys, it doesn't matter what sport we're talking about. If you're talking about the college football playoffs and you're talking about pro baseball or you're talking about football, man, when you get down to the Final Four or the Final Eight teams, they're all pretty damn good. I mean, they've all got one play, one bounce of the ball could swing a series or swing a game. Guys, it's just that critical moment could go either way. Hey, Robert, he also mentioned replacing Gerrit Cole as his number one priority, essentially, and he kind of chuckled when he said it. I mean, it's gonna be a tall task, but what do you make of that? What do you make of that? Both from obviously you'd love to get the similar, even close to similar results that Gerrit Cole was able to the success he was able to have, but just from an inning standpoint, that's going to be a monster in itself. What do you make of replacing Cole?
Well, I don't think you can. I mean, listen, for the 2 years that Gerrit Cole, he was here, he was dominant in 2018. He was out of this world in 2019. So he put together, I mean, this is what he did in 2019 is like Sandy Koufax, Nolan Ryan, Randy Johnson type stuff. That's not going to happen. More than likely, there is not anyone on that staff, no disrespect to Justin Verlander and Zach Greinke, who are extreme. I mean, they are elite pitchers and have had a great deal of success in their own right. But you're not getting that again next year. So you just got to figure it out. You and I have talked when I co-hosted the show. I mean, you're talking about Lance McCullers Jr., you know, but again, he's coming back off Tommy John. So he's probably going to be in an innings restriction. Jose Urquidy, who was a revelation in the playoffs, he doesn't have a great track record as far as putting up a bunch of innings. So that, I think, will be Dusty Baker's biggest job. Not so much finding someone to replace Gerrit Cole's production, but finding someone to eat up some of those innings that Cole gave you.
Robert, what about this, man? I thought he did a hell of a job tying in the players, the organization, and the city and the fan base, and then he speaks to the Hispanic fan base in Spanish, man. I mean, I mean this half in tongue in cheek and half not. I mean you're a middle aged Hispanic male. I mean that kind of stuff goes a long way in this particular part of the country and in Houston with this particular fan base, man. What'd you think of that?
I mean, what I immediately thought of was, man, I got to start taking some Spanish lessons. My Spanish sucks. I mean, this guy is a 70-year-old guy, you know, and he did a really, really good job. So, I thought it was, again, you know, winning the press conference is a term that likes to get thrown around. I mean, it doesn't really mean a whole heck of a lot once the season starts, but considering just everything that this franchise has been through, everything the fan base has been through in the past, since the report came out, it today has to be the best result that they could have expected, considering everything that has been swirling around this franchise.
Roflo, good stuff as always. Thanks for joining us. And Dusty Baker, new manager of the Astros.
You got it, man. See you guys.
You got it. Robert Flores, Houston native. You can catch him on MLB Network. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham coming up next. You guys have seen this. It's been all over Twitter. It's been all over Reddit. He's had his work featured in the Wall Street Journal, The Athletic, just to name a few. The Astro fan, Tony Adams, that dug up over 8,200 pitches from the 2017 season, saw how many times that the trash can was being hit. He joins us next on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Being joined now by Astro fan Tony Adams. You've seen him all over Reddit. You've seen him all over Twitter. He's had his work featured in the Wall Street Journal, his work featured in The Athletic. He logged 8,200 pitches from the 2017 season. He was looking to see how many times he heard the trash can get banged. Thanks for joining us, Tony. Tony, first off, what made you do this?
It's a good question. I wish I had a really great answer, but I really just, I think, want to understand what happened and what the scope was, you know, what the time frame was and the players involved. And to some degree, I think, push back on all the rumors and speculation that was going on at the time about the different things that the Astros were being accused of beyond the banging. I mean, obviously, the trash can banging is something that it happened, and it's so obvious nobody can really deny it. But the other stuff was just kind of absurd, and kind of really wanted to push back on that and say, this is what we know, and let's try to stick with the reality of the situation.
Well, Tony, make it clear, you're an Astros fan, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean, ultimately, just what did you find? I think I understand what you were trying to accomplish and trying to make clear, but when it's all said and done, the work you did, that's a lot of time, man. It's a lot of pitches to watch, a lot of intense, very focused listening there. What did you find at the back end of all of the work you did?
You know, initially I was trying not to really make any assumptions or have any goal in doing this. It was really just to kind of document what happened. And initially I did want to have the data there so that other data analysis people could use it to take it further. But as I was going along, there's an obvious story going on that matches up a lot with what the commissioner's statement said about how they didn't really do it in the early part of the season, and then it kind of ramped up, you know, in May, June. And you can see in the graphs on the site that it was really in full force there. And and then the Farquhar incident on September 21st, which is mentioned in the report too, you can see when he steps off, that's when the banging stops. And it was very interesting to see that in the data as I was going along. And that was the story that was being told over the time. But as I was watching or listening to all these pitches and logging all the bangs, something I started to notice that there were basically at bats that there were no bangs. And I wasn't really focused on the person at bat when I was listening. I was really looking at the spectrogram, the graph of sound that I created, and concentrating on listening on for the bangs. But I did start to notice that there was a pattern of no banging. So I started to realize that there were certain players that were outliers in this, that were participating as much as other players. And so that actually was a story that started to unfold as I was going through the data.
Tony, last question for you. How long did it take you to do all this?
I would say 50 to 60 hours. I wrote an application to make it very quick. It took me about 10 to 12 seconds per pitch. So I would listen to the pitch, make a decision about if there was a bang, hit okay, and it would jump to the next pitch. So I was able to actually skip over the video so I didn't have to watch, you know, all the full at bat. I could just listen to the first 10 seconds before a pitch. And so about 50 to 60 hours.
You can catch all of Tony's work at signstealingscandal.com. Tony, good work on all of it, and thanks for joining us today.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
That's Tony Adams, an Astro fan that really dug deep on the Astros scandal and how often that they were banging on the trash can. My biggest takeaway of it was that Jose Altuve had like less than 3% of the amount of pitches he had banged. Everybody else was averaging like 15%. I think Jose Altuve told everybody else not to tell me the pitches that are coming. That's
yeah,
just my takeaway
look,
on it.
Look, there's a lot of good information there. I mean, if you're a huge Astros fan to check out, I mean, the guy did a great job, putting all the gathering all the information and putting it into a graph where you could. It's very easy to read, and it's entertaining. It's worth looking at if you're a big Astros fan, good, bad, or indifferent. It's interesting Look, he do put a lot of work into it, man.
No doubt. 60 hours, he said, and that was after he was able to streamline it a little bit as well. I'm not sure if we woke him up though from the nap.
Yeah, no.
I think he's still a little tired from the 60 hours. But that,
yeah, you know, yeah. You know, here's my number one takeaway is Dusty Baker addressed it in his press conference and said that he will address it with the team and they'll put it behind them and move on. And so. You know, not to keep digging up old news, but nonetheless, it is an interesting topic.
Clinton JB on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. So Bill O'Brien officially became the general manager And the fan base, Clint, is in an uproar that Bill O'Brien is the general manager now of the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I mean, and I understand it. I'm not, as I said yesterday, I'm not even, you know, I'm not going to try to understand what Cal McNair's doing as far as giving, officially giving titles to Bill O'Brien, giving the title of head coach and GM to Bill O'Brien. That's only been given to a short list of Hall of Fame type coaches in the history of the NFL. I'm not even going to try to justify that or support that in any way, shape, or form. Here's what's interesting to me, JB, is that I think what people are disappointed in and what has the fan base in uproar is not that Bill O'Brien's a GM. It's not that Bill O'Brien is the head coach. It's not about, well, Bill O'Brien shouldn't be the GM because he did X, Y, and Z, or because he meets the requirements to be a GM or he doesn't. It's simply the fact that Bill O'Brien is gaining power in this organization at a time when it's hard to justify the power that he's gaining. It's hard to justify the power that Bill O'Brien has now in this organization based off of what you see in critical moments of the season, in the playoffs, versus the higher caliber teams in this league. It's interesting, to say the least, that the power that Bill O'Brien has is increasing as we speak. And I think that's what has people worked up more so than Bill O'Brien, the GM, Bill O'Brien, the head coach. If you want to have a conversation about Bill O'Brien, the head coach, I'll argue this. The number one problem with Bill O'Brien, the head coach, would probably be the game management issues that he's had throughout time. Okay.
That's fair.
I believe if he were to hire an offensive coordinator, that would give Bill O'Brien, the head coach, more time and more focus on those type in-game situations that have been such a big problem. And so when I talk about Bill O'Brien as the head coach, there's a solution to the problems that he's had. One, number two, that is a problem that if you are the head coach and that is the only thing that you're on game day that you're responsible for, those are things that can be overcome. Even if you're as bad as there is in the league, it can be overcome with other aspects of your football team. Perfect example is Andy Reid right now being in the Super Bowl, given his game management type issues that he's had. I've talked to guys in Kansas City that do the same thing we do. They are irate at Andy Reid's in-game clock management and situational management and things like that. Point is, it can be something that can be that's something that could be overcome as a head coach. The problem isn't one or the other, isn't an isolated position. The problem is the entirety of the increasing power that's being given to Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, I was watching a bunch of national media stuff. I was in North Carolina yesterday. I was watching ESPN all day, and everybody kept talking about the power that Bill O'Brien's getting,
yeah.
The power that Bill O'Brien's getting, when in fact, he hadn't gotten any more power. It's the same power he had 8 months ago. I tell you one thing I like about it.
I disagree with that, though, JB. Once that ink's on that paper, that's a different deal.
Okay, but the contract's the same.
Sure.
He didn't
There's
get
no more
any
money.
Raise in money.
Sure, yeah.
And what I like about it, I wouldn't say I'm an anti-Bill O'Brien guy. I hope the guy has success. It'd be great for us to talk about. But if I'm making the point, like if I'm advocating for the anti-Bill O'Brien fan in Houston, which there's a lot of, there's no doubt. I think there's more anti-Bill O'Brien fans than there are pro-Bill O'Brien
fans. There's a lot
O'Brien
of vocal. The anti-Bill O'Brien fans are a lot more vocal.
Let's call it
than,
the vocal majority
the
then. Yeah. Let's call it the vocal majority. If I'm advocating for the vocal majority on why this is a good thing for the Houston Texans, Cal McNair is saying that Bill O'Brien has all the power and the buck stops with Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
No longer can you blame it on Rick Smith. No longer can you blame it on Brian Gain. No longer can you blame it on Romeo Crennel. Bill, it's you. We're not extending your contract, so if we have a 6-10 season with all the talent that we have next season, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, look, I said it a year ago, man. I mean, I said it a year ago is that Bill O'Brien's backed himself into a corner with his quarterback, with his roster, with his offensive coordinator that was a graduate assistant of his at Penn State, with his handpicked defensive coordinator. Now it's definitely his handpicked young defensive coordinator. I think now it's in a contract. It's black and white. It's inked that he is the GM. I don't think anything changes relative to him being backed into a corner and the buck stopping with him. I think that was the case last year at this time. I think it's going to be the case from here moving forward, obviously. The biggest thing is that my problem with it is not, and I'm not, I don't know, I'm not an anti-Bill O'Brien guy. I'm not in the whole fire Bill O'Brien. That ain't it. I'm not of that group. However, I do believe the problem is that it would take a 6-win season for them to be disappointed
in the
organization and in the team. And I believe that this team is beyond that. This team is talented enough to where they're going to get 10 or 11.
Sure.
They're going to get 9, 10, 11 every year that number four is taking snaps. Laremy Tunsil's a left tackle. Hopkins is out wide. The core group of guys, the culture is what it is. They're going to get W's. And so you got to start. The bar has to be set somewhere else other than a bad season, a losing season. At some point in time, you got to go, hey, man, we're not getting over the hump to where we're competing with the best of the best. And I think that's where the bar needs to be. You hope that's where it's at right now.
Clinch Turner, Jeremy Branham coming up next. Dusty Baker answered the concerns I had. We tell you what those concerns were, and we let you hear from Dusty Baker next on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Clinch Turner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. So I had some concerns with Dusty Baker. Whenever this whole Astro candidates, they were looking for the next manager, the 19th manager for the Houston Astros, and I wasn't a big fan of Dusty Baker. I'll be honest with you. The concerns I had were, one, how he's handled pitching staffs in the past. Mark Pryor, Kerry Wood, whenever he was in Chicago, a lot of people criticized him for ruining the careers of Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor. And the other thing was the analytics side of the game. He's been 70 years old. He's been criticized for his use of lineups in the past, where he uses his best hitters, that sort of thing. But today he addressed that, mentioned that he's been using analytics for a really long time.
I'm always about change. I'm a guy that how many men 70 years old have a 20-year-old son? And I just had my first grandchild 15 days ago. So, I enjoy and embrace, being modern, but also being old school at the same time. And I don't see why we can't combine the both of them. I mean, the other day I was listening to B.B. King, and he was playing with Eric Clapton. I was listening to the Stones, and they were playing with Muddy Waters. So, I'd like to think that I can, combine the two. Plus, forever, since I've been in the game and since I've been managing, there's always been something similar to analytics. It just didn't have a name. Every day I would write down first batter efficiency out of the bullpen, left right matchup, who hits in the double plays, who's gonna prone to the strikeout. So, see, this isn't really new. It's just we just put a name on it compared to what it was before.
The modern and the old school is something that I love. I love the blend of both because, like, to the core, I'm a baseball guy. I'm also a numbers guy. I think it's important for a manager to be both. I think it's important for them to understand it. I think it's important for them to use it in some way. But I also think it is important at times to go with your gut, like you mentioned earlier. And I love the psychological and the philosophical Dusty Baker we heard today, too, because that relates to the players. And that might not always translate to wins, but it translates to the players, and I loved hearing that from Dusty today.
Yeah, look, I think when you talk about the concerns, and we talked about them at the top of the show, man, I think analytics is the top of the list, right? When you talk about concerns with Dusty Baker going into today, him being named officially as the manager for the Houston Astros, and in the press conference, all you can hope for as a fan, as a team, a media outlet that covers the Astros, all you can hope for is, does that press conference address the concerns? And then how do they address the concerns? I thought when you talk about the analytics aspect of it, that Dusty Baker hit the nail on the head. Not only did he discuss the fact that, look, he understands being on the cutting edge. He understands you know, being in the now and not being stuck in his old ways. And he understands the analytical side of this game and how important it is. He also went on, by the way, later on, he went on to say how he mentioned, just in passing, without thinking about what he was saying, he simply said there will be times that he will lean on the analytics staff throughout the season. In fact, when he said it, he meant he would lean on them heavily in important times is how I took it. So when you talk about Dusty Baker, the number one concern on my list was the analytics issue. And not only did he address it, but he addressed it very confidently, very thoroughly. And the only thing left to do is to see how it unfolds in the season as 2020 moves along, and then we'll talk about it, chop it, and cuss it, and discuss it at that point in time. But as of a press conference, he nailed that one square on the head.
Let us know how you're feeling, Houston. We want to get a pulse of the city. 713-572-4610. What do you feel about Dusty Baker taking over the Houston Astros manager job, and how you feeling about 2020? I'm all in for 2020. Today fired me up. Today was the good news that the Astros needed. The Astros needed something good to come out of it. I was as critical as anybody, but I'm excited to see Dusty Baker work with the analytics staff. I'm happy that he said I'm going to depend on the analytics staff. I'm happy he said it's kind of late to make any coaching changes, because yeah, I think it's really good that Joe Espada is still going to be the bench coach. It's great that Brent Strom's still going to be the pitching coach. And I love the fiery side of Dusty Baker, especially whenever you're going to get into a tough 2020. There's going to be some adversity along the way. 713-572-4610. How you feeling with Dusty Baker as the manager of the Houston Astros? Jim Crane spoke to the analytics as well about when he hired Dusty Baker. He was asked, will Dusty satisfy the Astros' analytical need that they have in Houston?
Dusty explained it pretty simply. I mean, the data is available. He'll have help. He's certainly a very smart guy, so he'll get to speed very quickly on how we like to do things and some of the reasons we do things. And, you know, I've worked with the baseball ops on big deals, and when they put the information in front of you, you can get to a result pretty quickly. So I don't think you'll have any problem with it. We've got good people that can deliver it in a concise way, and we do it with the players where we really don't try to overload him. We just work on the things that need to get done. So I have no problem that he'll take this and run with it and apply it how he feels that he can win games and he can help the players. And that's what we'll continue to do.
I like what Crane had to say there. And you could tell that it was part of the interview process, right, Clint? Like, whenever he brought Dusty in, Jim Crane knew that was a concern of Dusty. He knew that was one of the negatives that Dusty Baker had out there whenever he was interviewing for this job. Crane, you know, he addressed it with Dusty Baker, and he's very confident with what Dusty Baker said to him in the interview process that he named him the 19th manager in franchise history.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we discussed coming into this day was, you know, you've got to believe at this point in time that Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros, has discussed a handful of things with Dusty Baker before offering him the job. One of them is the analytics aspect of this thing. To think that Jim Crane would go hire a guy, yeah, he's a great fit for the adversity aspect of this thing. He's motivated. He's experienced. Yeah. But to think that he would go hire a manager to run this organization at a time when they should compete for a title, for a World Series, and not discuss analytics and how they will be used and how he will lean on them and how he will be open to coaches and the analytics staff having input into how this team is ran would be crazy. Maybe I'm the crazy one, and maybe I'm giving Jim Crane way too much credit. But where I choose to start in these types of situations is that I'm going to believe that conversation was very sternly had with Dusty Baker. And it appears by what we heard in the press conference today that not only Dusty Baker gets the point, not only does Dusty Baker retain the staff, I don't know if it's by his choice or not, but he retains the staff that heavily believes in it. But the owner of this organization has had in-depth discussions with this manager about what this organization is going to do moving forward. And so you got to feel good about that.
Clinton JB on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610, discussing the hiring of Dusty Baker as the Astros manager. The second concern I had, which wasn't asked in the press conference today, surprisingly, was the fact on how he handles pitchers. Because if there's two critiques about Dusty Baker, it's the sabermetric style side of the game, and then two, it's the pitching side of the game, which he wasn't asked today for some reason. If you look back at Dusty Baker's career, a lot of people point to Chicago, ruined Kerry Wood, ruined Mark Pryor. So that's a concern I had coming in, and that's something that was not addressed today. So I'm very curious how he handles the Astros pitching staff going forward. Although Brent Strom being in the room, if I'm Dusty Baker, I say, Brent Strom, you have total control of the pitching staff. You make all the changes. You tell me when to go out there and when I need to pull a guy. You're my guy I'm going to rely on.
Well, there's your answer, right? I mean, again, I'm kind of reading between the lines here, but there's your answer for that particular concern is – Brent Strom's in the room, right? And he's going to lean heavily on that staff. And so when I hear that guy being Dusty Baker, I can't say that guy anymore because we got a manager. It's Dusty Baker. When I hear Dusty Baker mentioning leaning on the staff and how this staff was really, really good before he got the job, and so keeping things as is a priority, and it's going to be fine moving forward. I got complete confidence that, he'll lean on those guys heavily, not only for analytics, but for the strengths and weaknesses of this pitching staff as well.
Yeah, whenever he was doing his thing in the heyday of his managerial career, he led the league in the amount of times he had pitchers go more than 120 pitches. So it's something that he did in the past. He would leave starters in longer. We'll see if that's the case this go around with the Houston Astros. One of the other concerns that a lot of people have been talking about, I don't share this concern, but it's his age. He's 70 years old. A lot of people saying, games passed you by at 70 years old. I don't have that concern. Look, a lot of old coaches, Andy Reid, not really that young. He's still a modern coach. There's a lot of old coaches that change with the times. There's some that don't. But I don't have that fear with Dusty Baker.
Yeah, look, I'm, and this is gonna come across as funny, but when you're 50 years old having your first kid, and you're 70 with your first grandkid, you hadn't lost a step, partner. You know what I mean? This we talk about 70 years old like it's rightfully so, but like it's your 70 year old grandfather. There are a lot of 70 year olds out there that have no business working. Driving, much less managing a baseball team and managing this baseball team in particular. But this cat right here beats to a little different drum, and I think he's got plenty of gas left in the tank. We heard it from McTaggart. We heard it from Brian Flores. We heard it during the press conference. I just don't see age being a problem in this particular instance. And you couple that aspect of it with the fact that he's got a one-year contract.
With a one-year option.
With one-year club option on the back end of it. I mean, to me, that's plenty of motivation for a 70-year-old that still got some gas left in the tank to make moves. He'll be out there moving and shaking. I'm not concerned about 70 at all.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about the 70-year-old Dusty Baker as well. Dusty Baker was asked today at the press conference, why come back now?
You know, number one, I got a call from Mr. Crane here. And, I got my juices to flowing, and I discussed it with my wife and discussed it really with my family. And they said, Dad, you got to make yourself happy. And they said, you've done so much for everybody else in your life, and we want you to be happy. And they know that what makes me happy is competition and the quest for winning. And then when I got the call, then I said, hey, man, I'm going to do whatever I can and be as honest as I can, with Mr. Crane. I knew I got a call from Enos Cabell, my old longtime partner. And he had told me that he had talked to Baggy and some of the other Astros that were here before, some of the guys that I had tremendous amount of respect for. And that made up my mind right then. Plus, man, this is a great team. I mean, this was a great team before I got here. And don't tell the Nationals. I was rooting for this team to beat the Nationals. I'm very excited. And I love this. I love the city, actually. I mean, I spent probably more time here than I have any other city other than where I was living.
That was Dusty Baker on why come back now. It's an attractive job for Dusty Baker, too. Like, we're nitpicking Dusty Baker, what he does well, what he doesn't do well. But Dusty Baker, for me, it was an easy decision. This is a team that's won 100 games the last 3 years. They've been to the World Series twice in the last 3 years, won one of them, were eight outs away in 2019. I mean, Dusty Baker, he's had some really good teams in the past. Barry Bonds in San Francisco, really good. The Chicago Cubs, really good with Pryor and Wood. But this situation's really good for Dusty as well.
Look, JB, I mean, when you talk about the stars aligning for a guy at the right time, it's Dusty Baker. I mean, I don't think his age is a problem, but I think we'd be fools to sit here and not talk about the fact that he's at the end of his career. And the stars are aligning. As I mentioned earlier, man, he's got a family that says, hey, get your butt out there on that diamond and get to Houston and enjoy what you've got left and the time that you've got left and enjoy the fact that there's an organization out there that wants you as their manager as bad as you want to manage and you want to win a World Series. And, oh, by the way, that team happens to be in a particular situation where their manager got fired not because he couldn't coach and not because his team wasn't talented. How many times does a World Series or a Super Bowl or a national champion or a title-winning and finals team, how many times does that job become available?
Almost never.
And so you talk about the stars aligning at the right time for Dusty Baker. This is it right here, man. And his family's behind it. Clearly, he's got a chance that he didn't think he alluded to in the press conference about the fact that he thought he was done. You know, he thought he was done after the Washington Nationals job. After he got fired with the Washington Nationals, he thought he was done. And yep. So this is as big of a surprise as it is an opportunity for Dusty Baker, man. It could be a storybook ending, Jeremy. It could be a storybook ending, and I think Houston would love to be, obviously, now that he's the manager, would love to be part of that history and a part of Dusty Baker's career for sure.
22 years as a manager, three-time NL Manager of the Year, has over 1,800 wins. If he's with the Astros, that the two seasons next year plus the option,
that's a kicker.
He'll go over 2,000.
That's a kicker.
I mean, could potentially be a Hall of Fame managerial career. The last thing he needs, last feather in his hat, is the World Series.
2 years, JB, with this team as it is, World Series or no World Series. 2 years with this team, he will go over 2,000 victories and 2,000 wins, and that will. I would think that would get him into the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
A World Series would lock it up, but I would think that the 2,000 win mark would be, it'd be hard to keep my man out at that point in time.
I'm with you on that one. Clinton JB on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. I liked everything that he had to say today. He won the press conference. He says he's going to depend on the analytical staff. He says he's always been using sabermetrics to an extent, but there's still that one conversation that he had with Grant Paulson that I can't get out of my head.
From a lineup construction standpoint, it's not that common that a guy who's top five in OPS, like Anthony Rendon, hits as low as he does. Do you still think about moving him up at all, or are you content now with where he's hitting?
Okay, so where should he move to?
Well, you could move everybody up a slot if you wanted to. Do you believe in the philosophy that your best hitter should hit the highest in the order to get the most at-bats?
Yeah, but is he our best hitter?
Maybe not, but I would say he's a better hitter than Wilmer Defoe or Chris Heisey.
He hadn't batted below those guys.
He had second most nights.
Yeah, but see, the thing about it is I batted him second last year. He's been so productive behind, you know, who's going to hit behind
Murph?
Well, it could still be Rendon if you moved everybody up one spot.
Okay, well, when you're the manager, you can make out the lineup.
That's the part that still sticks with me, though, Clint, is that Dusty Baker doesn't seem like he gets it there.
Yeah,
like, why not have a better hitter at the top of the lineup as opposed to a two-hole that's not hitting 250? Like, I'm still concerned a little bit about the analytical side of the game. I feel like he's just going to roll out of bed, stick guys in the lineup where they should go.
What does that have to do with analytics? I'm asking. I'm not being a smart ass to you. Asking, like, what is that?
Analytics, really. I mean, if you have a two-hole that hits 250 and, let's say, Anthony Rendon, who's hitting 320 with an OPS of close to, like, 950, who do you want to bat more? You know, the guy that's the better hitter. And if he's batting in the two-hole as opposed to, like, the five or the six-hole, he's going to get more opportunities to bat. I mean, you're talking about 50, 70 plate appearances a season. So usually you're starting to see it with the, you know, nowadays in baseball, you're starting to see your better hitters at the top of the lineup instead of the middle of the order.
Well, no, I get that. I get the whole point of hit, you know, your lineup, the top of your order consisting of your better hitters simply so that they get, they're guaranteed more at-bats. But to isolate one situation and for that to be a problem, I just I'm not saying that it shouldn't be. I don't know the history of that particular situation in particular. Like, I don't know what Rendon was hitting at that point in time.
Right.
I don't know if he was in a slump or if he wasn't in a slump. I don't know exactly what that situation was. But that doesn't concern me. That exchange there doesn't concern me. But I do want to. I mean, I'll be completely transparent to the fact that I have no idea what that particular situation consisted of in that moment.
If Wilmer Defoe is getting 50 more plate appearances a year over Anthony Rendon, that concerns me. Because now if you want to put like an Astro equivalent
does
Reddick get 50 to 70 more plate appearances than like George Springer? That's the comparison there.
That's the background behind that conversation. Yeah. You know more than I do about that conversation. I didn't know that we're talking about a guy getting 50 more at-bats. I mean, that's not analytics. That's common sense, right?
That's why I'm concerned.
But it's hindsight as well. Like there's got to be some backstory there of like, why were you? You think Dusty Baker is a guy that would sit there and go, I had a much better hitter, and it was blatantly obvious that he should have been hitting in the two hole instead of the five hole, and I just refused to do it.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't think there's any method to that madness?
Well, the method of the madness is he wants Anthony Rendon to protect Daniel Murphy in the middle of the order. There is a method to the madness.
Now we're talking.
It's more of an old school thought than a new school thought of let's do what's best in terms of the numbers and the sabermetrics. He also has quotes like, I think walks are overrated unless you can run. The guy who walks and can't run, most of the time they're clogging up the bases for somebody who can run. The sabermetrics community sees that, they lose their mind. Something else that Dusty Baker said, on-base percentage is good, RBIs are better. Something that just spits in the face of the sabermetric community. So there's still some things in that area that I loved everything Dusty had to say today. But I need to see him manage a game for an extended period of time to see if I really do see some change in the way that Dusty Baker manages the game.
I think it's easy, JB, to poke holes and take quotes and comments out of context from time. I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm just saying it's easy to do that in this kind of situation. I refuse to, to me, when you go Rendon was protecting a four hole hitter, that changes the whole game. That changes the entire conversation than just why wasn't this guy batting second instead of this guy. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, sure.
So it just, to me, that's a game changer, and there's a lot more backstory to it than you and I probably know.
I also think it's overrated. I think the batting order is completely overrated. The best batting order you can have compared to the worst batting order you can have, same nine guys. If I optimize it the best you can and I don't, the difference is like 10 runs a year. So it's not that big a deal. And Dusty Baker going with his gut in that regard, I'm okay. I can live with it. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham coming up next, 5 o'clock fire. The hottest sports stories in the city of Houston. Dusty Baker, 19th manager of the Houston Astros. How about those Rockets as well? That's next on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
The journey for a second World Series title has begun.
I'm excited to be here and excited to win because this is my last chance to accomplish the goal. I was happy, but I wasn't satisfied where I was and what I was doing because, something's missing. And I think the Lord gave me the best chance to accomplish, what I need as a person, as a father, and as a man.
Go get that ring, Dusty. Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Clint Sterner here from my guy Lewis Flory at Ability Tree Experts. If you've got big, beautiful, valuable trees on your property, you need to be listening to me right now. Give me your undivided attention. Regular professional tree maintenance is absolutely 100% necessary. And Ability Tree Experts, they're simply the best in the business. They're the best in the Houston area. They're the best on the Gulf Coast. Lewis Flory, he's a licensed arborist. He's been in the Houston area for 40 years. That's 40-plus years of experience. Pruning your trees will thin them out and help with the stress caused by heavy branches. Don't let your trees get stressed out. They're too beautiful and way too valuable. Once trees are stressed, insects are drawn to them, and that's bad, bad news, folks. Also, call now to receive a free deep root feeding with every tree that's pruned. With the right maintenance and care, your trees can continue to grow and thrive. And my guy, Lewis Flory at Ability Tree Experts, they're simply the best in the business. Fully insured, all the equipment necessary for whatever job you need complete. And the owner, Lewis Flooring, his feet, they're on the ground. He's present with every job. Whether you're looking to clean up your curb appeal, protect against storms, or treat infested trees, you need to call Ability Tree Experts at 281-441-4179. 281-441-4179. That's Ability Tree Experts, Houston's leading tree care professional.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.